Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we get into the Word, we're going to take a moment and pray. God, we thank you for today, Lord, and we thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord, the mercy and the grace you have shown each and every one of us. We thank you for the opportunity to grow and mature in you, Lord, and to be stronger men and women of God. And we thank you for being a part of your plan and your family, Lord, that you've made a place for each and every one of us, Lord, and that you didn't cast us away and throw us out, Lord. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. We're glad to have you with us as we conclude or wrap up our study of the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So, I just wanted to, or as is our custom here, we usually, in our conclusion or wrap up of our study, just allow each and every person the opportunity to share what the Lord says. So I'll say minister to you or made stand out to you. So we're going to do that at this time. Would anybody like to, I'll say, begin or lead the way here?
I would.
All right, Layla.
So I'll start by saying a current concurrent thing that I have seen through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, even though it wasn't always expressly stated, but that was having integrity. Because without integrity, it's impossible to stand. If you look at any, you know, just a natural person, and we'll talk about work for an example. If you know the person has no integrity, you're not going to put them as the head of, like, the IT department or the head of anything that would be important, like the loss of the information would be detrimental to themselves or to other individuals involved. And for those positions, there has to be a consistent history and pattern of them having integrity and working in excellence. And that works on a much greater level with the Lord. So as we're looking to do those great exploits and, you know, be leaders of churches or be in positions of what we perceive to be power, we have to have integrity. Jesus didn't get the title that he got by being deceptive and sneaky and dishonest. Now, we know he never was any of those things and never will be. And at the same time, humans who can fall into that, and I don't advise that you do, we have to develop that consistency and that integrity so we're able to stand. Because if you lie to yourself and you lie to others, how, when the devil comes to you with a lie, how are you gonna, you know, walk out of that unscathed, if you will? And I found that in my own life, when I practice lying to others, I would lie to myself, and so the devil didn't have to do much to get me often in the weeds and tell me the sky is purple, and I knew it was blue, but because I had practiced lying, I said, okay, it's purple today. Then I really knew it was blue and I wasn't able to stand. So as long as you have that double-mindedness on the inside of you, that totally takes away your ability to just stand up and do what the Lord's asking you to do. You'll spend more time picking yourself up out of the dirt than actually running to the battle or to the next checkpoint, the evac point, wherever it is that the Lord would have you go, because now you are questioning, you have to wrangle your flesh and your emotions, and it steals time from the believer when we have to go around that mulberry bush. Do I tell the truth or do I tell a lie? Instead of just being truthful and honest day in and day out, regardless of who we think is looking at us.
Amen. I really enjoyed watching in 1 Thessalonians, as you saw the fatherly aspect that the Lord was ministering through the Apostle Paul, loving on his children, if you will, and kind of giving them that hug, that encouragement that they needed, the pats on the back, the well done, and, you know, some guiding instruction. But when we transitioned to 2 Thessalonians, I appreciated that it was more like now getting the troops ready for battle, getting my troops, my brothers and sisters in Christ geared up so that they can, you know, transition to be fully focused on where they are and engaged in the spiritual warfare that they needed to be prepared for, but also taking part in, you know, because the devil's waging his warfare. He's doing his part. But if we're not coming to meet him in battle and to subdue him and enforce the subjugation that Christ has already placed on him, but subjugate him in our life, then we're just really just taking punches from the adversary all day long and being barraged and not doing anything about it. So I just love that transition from father to commander, you know what I mean? And, or general, like, hey, okay, we hugged you, we loved you up. All right, you're good. Now let's get in here and get to business. Because at the end of the day, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. He's not the great uncle or grandpa or any of those things. He is the firstborn among many brethren. That includes the sisterins, if that's a word, the sisterhood. I was just making a joke. Let's make it a face. Okay. Anyway, moving on. But the fact that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, recognizing that, but also the sons and daughters are made to act like our Lord and Savior. We're made to act like the Father himself, who doesn't just lay there and take the beating up of the devil, but he gets in there and he gets to work. And like you referenced, Leila, talking about our Lord and Savior, he didn't crumple when it was clutch time, when the Lord was like, all right, we're down to the nitty gritty. Jesus showed up and he finished the task, and he didn't just barely finish it. He knocked it out of the park, even down to the Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To the world, they may look like weakness, but on the standard of the Most High God, that was the pinnacle. Slap your face, you know, put your head on the your foot on the devil, and, you know, you took it to the house. You slam dunked. You scored. You did everything that was necessary. That was a major blow to the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus was there. He was present spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. He showed up with everything that he needed to show up to finish the race in the natural, the earthly ministry that he had when it was time to finish it. So, you know, the same thing, God is looking for that in us. And I just appreciated seeing it played out in that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, Mommy, you brought up an interesting point. And also going back to what you're saying about how Paul was, well, the Lord through Paul was equipping the Thessalonians. And the Lord had me go back to Ephesians. How first Paul is telling them about the weapons, and then coming back to Thessalonians as a whole, God is giving them what to do with the weapons and giving them a purpose in order for them and a target to use it against. And inside of 2 Thessalonians specifically, we see that God is refining their perspective and also making it sharper and showing us how to use it in a specialty manner, as in to use it specifically.
Mm-hmm. Against the adversary, or specifically how?
To wage the Lord's battles and also against the adversary.
Oh, okay. Amen. Mm-hmm.
And how the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is also using that to kind of harden them, not to become insensitive, but in order for that they can actually endure the opportunity, the temptations, and so that they can actually walk and that they don't faint at the finish line, as I believe you said, Layla.
Mm-hmm.
Mommy, you also said that.
He strengthened them for warfare, and the little cushy pillow who can't stand the sight of blood or can't take a punch, you know, isn't prepared to hear gunfire is not going to go very far. But the one whose ears are like, okay, I hear it, I'm not scared, I'm grabbing my gun and I'm going, and I know what direction I need to move in, they're ready for battle and warfare. Mm-hmm. That's what you meant by hardened, prepared them for battle.
Mm-hmm.
And something else that I saw that was common to both books was the peace, harmony, unity, thought, and I don't mean thought as in it's a nice idea, but that message of it starts with you. If you want to see the Lord work, you want to see these things, you want to do these things, well, you got to deal with you first. It's self-control, not other people control, right? We're not puppeteers, and other humans aren't our puppets. We control ourselves, and we submit ourselves to the guidance and the leading of the Father. And that's when we have good success, and we really get to see what God can do with his people when they're submitted to him. Many of us marvel or go, ooh, they're so cool when we read about David or even Samson, those that have displays of strength, Elijah, Paul himself. We go, ooh, they're so special and they're so cool. They are special, but the Lord was able to use them to an extent. Now, I'll limit this to Elijah, David, and Paul. They were willing participants in what the Lord was doing, just like the Thessalonians were choosing to be willing participants in what the Lord was doing. And it just shows us what God can do with people who would actually trust him for once, not half trust, three quarters trust, seven eighths trust, but just full blown. Mm-hmm. Absolutely convinced, certain faith in him that he can do anything and everything he said he could do, and he will do it. And then actually going out to do the work to demonstrate that faith that many of us claim that we have. So it was really good to see that in these books and watch the Thessalonians. It's almost like having another little sibling, watching them grow up and then recounting to them their, he looks so cute as a baby kind of thing with First Thessalonians, and as you said, Mommy, the preparation for battle in Second Thessalonians, but also the warning and the caution and the admonishment that comes at the end of Thessalonians for us today, because that time yet hasn't come. We still have work to do, and we can't quit halfway down or halfway through the battle. That's how many armies lose. Their people quit, and then, well, the other one just takes them over, or they don't even try. So we have to come with a gusto, as you said, Mommy. Jesus didn't quit. He came with everything, with everything he was supposed to have. So we should be doing the same thing.
Amen.
Well, then I would like to touch on a point that you said, talking about Paul and those who seem to be doing extraordinary acts of faith. And so the Lord was reminding me of how that what made them special was their willingness to obey what the Holy Spirit was telling them to do. Mm-hmm. And you can also see that played outside the Thessalonians, the books that is. How Paul is telling them to become willing to be a vessel of God and not to remain at the same point forever or being satisfied for less, but allowing God to instill inside them an appetite to become more like God.
Amen.
Amen to that. You know, I love that was brought up about the parental perspective, you know, Paul pouring into what the Lord through Paul pouring into to these individuals who he got to spend just a short time with, right? But then there's the other aspect of that, because you get to see both in these letters, those or the Thessalonians, those in Thessalonica that chose to enter into relationship with the Lord. And all but immediately, they were persecuted and the same, received some of the same treatment experiences that the Apostle Paul did. So I'll say it in this way. It did not deter their choice to enter into relationship with the Lord, right?
Yes.
Same thing applies for us. We cannot let the schemes, the warfare that the enemy rages or attempts to wage against us, deter us from our, from A, making a choice for the Lord, and then B, remaining in that choice. So they, as I look at this, I'm like, man, they really stood for the Lord. How did they do it? They very quickly, they understood where they were at and received immediately every bit of instruction that they could receive in the moment and immediately began applying it. You know, an enemy force does not care if you have 15 years in the military or if you've been in the military for 5 days or 5 months. They don't care. You are the enemy to them. So they clearly understood that and pressed in, like had just hearts that were open to receive everything the Lord had for them, but not just receive it, they immediately began applying it to stand. And you know, and ultimately that was the whole purpose of the study, is standing for the Lord, right? Seeing what it looks like in our day-to-day life. Because you could say on the one hand, no, we're not on the battlefield, right? They're right in,
not
in the natural,
not
right?
Literally,
exactly.
In the natural realm, but in the spiritual
right,
realm,
in the,
all
but
day.
In the spiritual, yes, this is absolutely. We are in a time of warfare and of intense combat. So, mm-hmm. understanding where you're at, having the right perspective, right? Same thing could be said about Christ. He lived his life as though he was in the garden. Mm-hmm. Just depended on his Father to supply everything, just like was supplied for Adam and woman. Although clearly he was not in the garden. And I don't mean mm-hmm. the Garden of Gethsemane, but I mean the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. He was mm-hmm. in and throughout all of Israel, walking and preaching and teaching, right? As the Father led him and commanded him. Mm-hmm. So you see that similarity there. Of just understanding the times, the seasons, where they're at, and what's required. So seeing both the pouring in and how it's done, the teaching, the training, the preparation, right, admonishment, all these things for those that just entered in, but also their willingness to receive the instruction and bring it forth in spite of every attack and whatever schemes the enemy would use against them. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, honey, in that second, in 2 Thessalonians, now you really get down to business and getting that, well, I'll say it in this way, it's easier to conduct training in a nice, peaceful environment, right? Like it should be in a household, right? Mm-hmm. With a parent to a child. But then there's also now it's getting down to brass tacks. We're getting down to the wire here. Where you have to have a right perspective of what is happening in the battlefield, mm-hmm. right? No, you didn't miss it. There's a whole nother, if you will, other operation that's happening that you're a part of without truly knowing where and how you fit in, right? Like mm-hmm. there are multiple things happening here on the battlefield. So if you want to know, you have to get it the same way we got it. We went to the Lord, right? And I don't mean us specifically, but it's what Paul is saying. Understand these things. This is what is happening here and in the moment. If you want to know about it, yep, we can write, but you can just go to the Lord yourself. Mm-hmm. And he's going to give you exactly what you need in order to carry out, fulfill your role in this this battle, mm-hmm. right? Or in these battles, because it's an end time army. It's not just one battle. Mm-hmm. There mm-hmm. are multiple, right? That's what a war is. Absolutely. So, but the whole point is, hey, we're fighting the Lord's battles, and the enemy is already defeated, and let's continue to do so. Let's continue mm-hmm. to defeat the enemy in every attack or trap or whatever he would attempt to bring it up, right? As he brings it up, waging that good warfare, overcoming him, and occupying the land and expanding the territory that the Lord has already won and given to us.
Amen.
So, I know there's a lot in there, mm-hmm. right? Does anyone have anything else they want to share?
No, I think that covers it for
okay.
me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage you to stand. Stand for the Lord. Stand in your faith, that unshakable faith, right? We're mm-hmm. we're not done. This is, we are coming up clearly on the end of times or the end time. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of work to do in this.
Amen.
Right? And it doesn't matter if it's the end of time or it's your end of time. There should be no difference in how we are living, caring, and conducting ourselves before the Lord. Mm-hmm. So just want to encourage you with that. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for today, Lord, and we thank you for taking the time to show us how to develop our faith, Lord, how to put on the armor and how to stand, Lord. And we thank you for the next step that you revealed to us, Lord, so that we're able to wage war just like you do, Lord, that we're able to do everything you called us to do, Lord, and that we're successful, Lord, and we're not tired and we're not faint and we're not unable to do the work or to carry the load, Lord. But we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your supernatural strength that supplies us, Lord, that you supply our everyday needs, that you strengthen us spirit, soul, and body, Lord, that you have your eyes upon us, Lord, and that you are caring and protecting us. And we thank you for our partners and listeners, that you're blessing them, that you're causing them to excel, Lord, that you're giving them favor with their coworkers, with their bosses, with their teachers and their peers, Lord, that they are excelling and they are ahead, Lord, and they are successful in everything you've asked them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.